Hi, welcome to the Meal Deals podcast. I'm your host, Victoria Pham, with
Eric Wang
and
Rafael Perez.
And today we're going to be talking about how to stop overthinking.
Yeah, I just want to put out straight there. I am a big overthinker. So this podcast episode is a really special episode for me. And I'm sure for you guys as well, because we've all shared our own experiences and moments of overthinking, of like a little moment or a little action and making it bigger than it seems, I'm sure. Right, guys?
Yeah. I mean, I spent most of my life, I think 95% of my life.
I'm a good overthinker.
You're a good overthinker? You're a good.
Yes, I'm a really good overthinker. And by that, it's not a good thing.
Wait, that's a positive thing?
Since when overthinking is such a positive thing?
Like, you're, when you said it like that,
yeah, I know.
You thought you meant, like, you're really good at overthinking.
I was like, wait, what? I feel for me, there's, like, a fine line. Because, like, every time I talk about, like, maybe there's, like, a strength about me and a weakness about me, is that strength is, like, I pay attention to detail a lot, but I try to kind of combine that with my weakness is that I could tend to overthink a lot. Mm-hmm. So I get too focused on the little details and make it bigger than it seems than not look at the bigger picture. So that's something I do need to work on. I think a way that I use to stop overthinking is kind of take a break or basically stop thinking about that subject for now and kind of come back to it or kind of vent that out with other people, how I think, or write that down and really see my thoughts in a third person perspective, because it's all in my head.
When does the overthinking occurs for you guys?
I think the overthinking occurs when I think that I did something negative or I made someone upset about something that I did, that it could, but most times in reality, it's just a little action that they just never even took mind to, like paid attention to. Mm-hmm. But in my head, I'm just like, oh, like I like did something wrong. Like just recently, a homework assignment I did for school is that I had to interview a professor about his work and research. But it was supposed to be a 15-minute interview, but it kind of extended to actually a half hour because he was actually explaining a lot and talking a lot. But I think like a response I've had to like the research he's doing, and I said wow, but like in a like wow, like this is really great. But I think this is like the overthinking side of me. I felt like he maybe took offense to that because his face like kind of changed. Like this is me overthinking, so it's not like reality. That he probably was just like being him. But like that's an example when I think it's like, oh wait, he just not stopped smiling, or maybe he like this slight frown or some sort, maybe he took offense to like one of my responses or one of my questions, and I'm just like overthinking, I'm like, oh well, am I just not like I guess like he hasn't had a pleasant interview. Like just right now I just gave him a thank you note, and it's only been like a day, and I just feel like, oh, he hasn't responded yet. Does that mean like he didn't like the interview? He's just like, yeah, just get the interview done with because it's just an assignment type thing. It's not like he genuinely enjoyed it. But I would say if I put that in a third person perspective, like I'm venting out right now in this podcast episode, it's probably not that big as it seems.
Yeah.
Now that I'm like talking about it, you know. But in your head, it feels so big and significant. It's like, whoa, this like means something.
Well, I don't know. I know that these guys have listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. I don't know if anyone out there in the podcast world listening right now, listeners have listened to Joe Rogan, but he had this one amazing guest, and it relates to what you just said about reality. It's just like reality is neutral. It's our own perceptions and our own ideas of ourselves that really shape reality, right? So whenever the littlest thing can ultimately trigger that perception of yourself, of the other person, and in that way it ultimately becomes a snowball of overthinking.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's, I never thought of it that way, as reality being neutral, as if you know, it it's like the professor probably thinks it was nothing, but you keep thinking about it, but it's because his perception is like it's no big deal. And you're just, I don't know. I think maybe it's a lot about how you view yourself. I think that I think a lot of, I overthink when I worry about other people and how they view me. And it's something that I've had to deal with for a lot of my life. That's why I said 95% of my life has been about overthinking, because I grew up on this idea that I should really, really hone in or think about what other people see of me. And I have to make sure that I am a good person in other people's eyes. Mm-hmm. So in that way, a lot of the decisions that I've made, the things that I think about are for other people, or in terms of satisfying other people. It's about giving other people what they want. And that's how overthinking has become a negative thing for me. I'm still trying to get over it. But at the same time, it's okay to think about other people's perception of you. Mm-hmm. It's when the thinking becomes everything that you are, you know, and it stops your productivity, and it stops you doing what you want to do, because you're so worried about and anxious about what other people think of you.
I think I disagree on that. I mean, I think it makes sense, but I don't think it automatically like stops you from doing it. It kind of distracts you from doing it. Like, you're still doing it, but at the same time, I guess you could say it doesn't really have the end result of what you were doing, like, or like a great end result of what you were doing. In other words, just manage it. You're just drawing something. You were still drawing something, but then like, you know, you were overthinking of whatever did happen in, like, in the past, even if it's today or yesterday, whatever happened, whatever is overtaking your thought. You know, it just like, you keep drawing and you don't stop, but in the same time, you just like, you know, you're not focusing exactly what's going on.
Well, I think that's worse. Either way, it's bad. If you stop doing what you want to do, it's bad. If you're doing something for the sake of other people, that's bad. You should be doing things for the sake of yourself, for what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, I spent a lot of my life thinking through other people's perceptions, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And that's become detrimental to me, mm-hmm. because a lot of things that I have done in my life has been because I think a lot about what other people would perceive of me. So that's why, like, I started losing weight because I was thinking about how other people would see me. I started wearing makeup because that's what I thought about what others would see me as. And it's a lot to deal with insecurity, but I mean, I think that we're all speaking from three different perspectives here. I think that Eric is talking a lot about how overthinking is... Sorry, I was distracted by Eric's typing. I think that Eric is touching on the fact that overthinking will ultimately destroy your perception of how well you're doing or how well you're performing.
Honestly, that's what I mean. That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is just like, I think... It also, like, once people start overthinking, that part, like, you know, that makes sense. When people start overthinking, it just takes over the head, you know?
Mm.
When that's why, what overthinking basically is. Yeah. It's just like, you know, whatever you were thinking right now, that overthinking just distracts you from everything.
Yeah, and it can lead to a lot of anxiety, too. I think that a lot of people, this podcast is going to have a lot of us saying thinking, overthinking, thoughts.
We are great thinkers.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm trying to refrain. But when you have a lot of thoughts in your head and they take over you, like mm-hmm. you say, it can lead to a lot of anxiety. It can lead to a lot of anticipation for things that aren't there. So, for example, and I'm not saying this as, like, a joke, because anxiety is a very serious thing, and it can be debilitating for a lot of people, but it really stems from that overthinking, and the idea that overthinking is going to solve anything, when really it just drives you into a deeper hole.
And only, like, at least, like, to me, I don't know how you guys led up to anxiety for it. When I overthink, I always think of scenarios. Of like, you know, or like fake scenarios, even mm-hmm. like in the mm-hmm. in the future or in the past. The future is like the most effective. It is definitely in the future, because like probably like in an interview, if you have an interview the next day, or you're meeting someone new in the next day or whatever, in the future, it's what definitely gives you anxiety. But mm-hmm. also in the past, it also, like you said, it makes you worried about what they're going to think of you, or what yeah. they're going to think you ask. You know, it's just like, you sometimes like think of scenarios in the past that's like sometimes not true, like, or how you could have changed that. You know?
Yeah.
Like, man, I could have done this, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like, it gives you more of a
regret.
Regret in some cases, but also like, anxiety also.
It's weird because when you keep, you know, there's this quote that everyone says, it's like, you're just living in the past. You're living in the past. But it's true. If you keep thinking about it, you're not focusing on how to progress from that point. You're just regressing. There's this psychology term. It's regression. So you're going back in time to how you were before. But maybe after that incident, you're better. You're more aware than you were in that situation. So it's better off that you're here, and you need to stop in the present, and you need to stop overthinking about that point in the past, because, hey, you were shaped by that moment. No, even if people don't think that every little moment shapes you, I believe in that butterfly effect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing about the future is that it's so uncertain, and that's why people are so anxious all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't control that, and you can't control the past either. So the only thing that you can control right now is this brain fog that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep letting it control your days, control your weeks, and you look back and you keep thinking, oh my goodness, I've been thinking over too much. Mm-hmm. And then your life becomes this meta cycle of, why am I thinking about overthinking about overthinking?
Yeah. It's more also of like, a lot of people tend to forget that, you know, they keep overthinking in that particular moment, mm-hmm. but they don't think about the outcome of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, if you do something, mm-hmm. if you ask yourself, oh my God, why if I going to do something embarrassing? Well, what is the outcome of that something embarrassing, you know?
Yeah.
Would it even matter?
Is it going to be that terrible?
Exactly. Yeah. Would it even that terrible? Well, people forget about that moment, you know?
Yeah.
It's just that a lot of people always focus on that particular moment, but they forget even before or after, especially the outcome. I never really focus too much on what the outcome of that moment. We just trapped in that particular moment.
Yeah.
That we keep reliving, quote, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
What were we going to say?
Sorry, I know I distracted Victoria for a little bit by my typing, because when Victoria was talking about how you're limiting other people's perceptions and like you're being validated, and validation and overthinking really comes in line, it reminds me of this quote. I don't know if you guys listen. We mentioned a Joe Rogan podcast, but there's this actually other really popular podcast called the Jay Shetty podcast. And what he said, that he quoted this philosopher, Cooley, I correct me if I'm wrong, but ever since you mentioned that, it reminded me of this quote, which is, I'm not what I think I am. I am what you think I am. So I'm going to repeat that again. I'm not what I think I am. I am what you think I am. So it's kind of like we're living in a person's perception of a perception of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it really like resonates with me, because when I overthink, it really comes down to the line of validation. It's like, I want to look good, or like look like a good person I really want to look like a good person to this other person.
Mm-hmm.
So wanting to do so, I overthink about every little action I do. It's like, well, did I do this? Did I strike the conversation well?
Mm-hmm.
Did I make a good impression? So I'm sure like those are good things to think about, but it's really easy to overthink and come like not have control of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and speaking like a little bit in the beginning of the podcast about like, you could be distracted, or Rafael probably has an experience where when you overthink but it hasn't stopped what you're doing. Or what we all agreed is that that's even worse. If like you just stop what you're doing, mm-hmm. and you're because you're overthinking about something else in a different subject matter. I would say I shared those experiences where I overthink and I still multitask and I still do that thing. But there are some experiences that I've shared, I will share actually, I've had where I overthink so much that I just stop the thing I'm doing right now currently. Mm-hmm. And I, because of that, I overthink it even harder. Like mm-hmm. I just sit down and just, or just like not do my work, and now I overthink even harder about the event. And it just becomes a very slippery slope, or like a snowball, a negative snowball effect. Just for like, imagine when we talked about the previous episodes about how to get over rejection. Mm-hmm. The texts I had with the girl that did reject me, I think I overthought everything, where I thought maybe the message wasn't clear enough, or maybe she didn't take it seriously. It's just like one of those like little examples that I've shared in my life where it's just like I'm overthinking everything. Mm-hmm. And that stops people from doing what they're doing at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some people in our audience probably share some experiences for those when they do, I guess, message people, text message and try in a romantic incentive, or like email people for a profession or a business, or even like talk to teachers. I'm sure we've all shared our experiences where we're overthinking about every little conversation we've had.
Yeah. Not to sound weird, but with that quote that you shared about, I am not what I think I am. I am what you think I am. Mm-hmm. I feel like people like murderers or serial killers follow that rule a lot. Mm. It's just like, you know, they build this mask of like, you know, they convince other people they're like, this guy's such a good guy, whatever. But in reality, you know, they kill people, you know, or something like that. I know that's weird.
Self-improvement turned to crime.
Yeah.
We're now turned to a crime podcast.
Yeah, a true crime podcast.
Find out next time.
Ted Bundy.
Find out next episode if you're actually a serial killer yourself. Yes. So, like, did you share the same traits?
Yes, they definitely share the same traits. But, but not just serial killers, but also people or comics or something like that. It is like, you know, I think they follow the rule themselves. But that's kind of off topic. But only because, like, I don't think they overthink with such thing as that, you know? Like, when I think I'm getting off topic right here. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just like, I don't know. It just reminded me of that when you said that quote.
Well, Victoria, I agree with what Victoria said, mentioned before, is, like, you can't help but overthink. Like, we're social animals. Mm-hmm. And that's how we, like, continue as a species, because we're able to communicate among each other. And
that's
we have
why
to
you have friends.
Yeah, that's why we have friends. That's why we're friends, you know? Mm-hmm. Because, like, we're continuously not to look at a negative connotation, but like judging each other and like communicating with each other. And through that communication, there's always going to be a byproduct of judgment, our personal judgment, and like a personal judgment of their values. So I just want to put forth is that it's okay to think about these things, but it's important to learn how to train yourself or train your mind to control from you getting outside a frame of thinking too much about it.
Yes, exactly.
See, so I think that's an important thing. Do you guys have any methods, or do you guys have any experience where you had overthinking, where you were overthinking, but you guys kind of stopped and like thought about it or seen it in a now positive perspective from it?
Well, okay. A lot of my life, like I said, has been a lot of overthinking. And a way to get rid of that fear is to just... And I know that this is probably not the most socially acceptable thing, but this is just how my brain works, okay? It's just, like, stop being a little pussy about it and just do it. Just do the thing that you're so scared of or you're overthinking about so much. And it has... mostly in my life, it hasn't been about projects or anything school or work related. It has been about the romantic and social related aspects of my life, where I have said, you know what, just fuck it, just give it a shot. Mm-hmm. And just be honest with yourself and be true to yourself, and if it's not working, then just admit that it's not working.
Yeah.
But don't overthink it to the point where it comes to a full stop. Because no matter what, this is just inherent in ourselves, and everyone feels this way. If you overthink too much and then you stop, the immediate reaction to that, your body will say, why did you stop? Like, why did you fail doing that?
Which then it will lead you to regret.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So if you stop and you'll admit to yourself that you're a failure because obviously you stopped and you didn't proceed to go through with it, even though you think or you thought that you could. That's why you took on that project or that certain thing in your life in the first place.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have, you know, considered that as a possibility, right?
Yeah. Especially when it comes to something that you really like to do, you know?
Yes,
exactly. Which is like, if you're... Yeah, especially when it's something that you really like to do, that you will definitely regret of something that you make yourself stop to. You mm-hmm. know? Like you said, like, you were overthinking on this, like, this future event or this future whatever you were gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're overthinking so much to the point that you just fully be like, all right, I'm not gonna do it. Yeah. I'm not, you know? And it's just like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, dude, what the hell? You know, it's just like, and then right after that, it's like, you know, after that event that you didn't attend to or something that you didn't do, you definitely gonna be like, damn, you know, like, mm-hmm. I didn't do it, you know? And then it makes you just like punch yourself harder in the face for like, you know, simply not doing it or in the mean term, or like for being too much of a pussy of something.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I don't want to keep quoting Joe Rogan's podcast, but that one single guest, I keep forgetting his name, he quoted Confucius, and there's this one Confucius quote that's like, you know, a man has two lives, and the second one begins when he realizes he has just one.
That podcast was so good.
Yes.
I think his name is Naveel or
Naval.
Naval, yeah.
I don't know his last name.
Yeah, he definitely is good. If you guys are still... if you guys are interested in the Joe Rogan podcast, I definitely think you guys should look at
that.
What's
that episode? What, do you guys remember?
Not the exact number, but you could definitely look up Joe Rogan and Naval. Just, I don't know how to spell
it correctly. He's so good, yeah.
N-A-V-A-L. N-A-V-A-L.
Naval.
Yeah, and then type that in, and then you'll definitely get the podcast episode up.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the idea of just one single life, would you rather live in just thoughts, in your thoughts and your perceptions, or would you rather go out and actually feel the thing or actually experience that thing? And a lot of that has to do with my personal philosophy of just, no matter what emotion I feel at the end, at the result, I'm going to take that and I'm going to reassess it. If I felt really terrible about myself, for example, it sends me into like a long existential crisis about myself, right? I have to face that because I know that that's a possibility. You have to realize that not everything is going to go your way, right?
Right.
So overthinking it is not going to help anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when you finish what you were planning to do and you find out the result, because you can't think the result in your mind. You can't make the thought become...
You can't predict the future.
Yeah, exactly. You can't make that thought into an actuality. Once you realize that that's the definitive, that the only way to get the result is to find out and to reassess your emotions after that, you can go the rest of your life like fearless. And that's how I've done for the past 10 years of my life, and I've done some pretty reckless decisions, but I don't regret any of it because now I am the way that I am, and I'm actually proud of the way that I think and the way that I feel.
I definitely, that's actually one of the things I learned during high school. Going back to that computer science fair, we probably already told this story for like 4 times already in this podcast, but like, it makes so much sense though. It's just like, we were overthinking, and we were like thinking, oh yeah, we're not going to win this, you know? We're not going to win this at all. But it turns out we already won, you know?
Yeah.
After the computer science fair, we were like, you know, Eric was definitely overthinking about like, yo.
I changed everything.
What Stanowski, again, shout out to him for the first time. Yeah. He was like, Mr. Stanowski, he was like, why don't you guys just go there for the experience of it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then like he convinced us to go there. And then we're like, okay, let's just go there for the sake of it.
Yeah.
And then we went there and it was not only fun, you know, we also won.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the main idea of anything is just don't let your thoughts and your perceptions lead to this pit of despair that you're so willingly to fall into.
I feel that too.
Because
yeah.
when you're overthinking, you're just like one step in, like, okay, ready to fall right now. Let me just, and then when that failure happens, you're just like, oh yeah, okay, so you're pushing me in there. And you're making yourself helpless. But if you can face that pit of despair, face that failure and say, okay, I'm gonna step back. I'm gonna step back and think about what I did wrong. And then that the result might be different next time. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's how you should live the rest of your life.
Yeah, like in high
school. I genuinely believe in that.
Yeah, it is like in high school, it was, now that I think about that, like in high school changed me completely, you know? I used to be this antisocial dickwad, and now I'm just like a social dickwad, you know?
Yeah.
And like, it's just like, I'm just very happy with myself of how social I am to this day. Because, like, right now, it's just, like, I practically don't, like give a shit about what, you know, what other people think of it, you know? Because it's just, you know, a one-time thing, you know? And what, you know, like, the decisions that I'm making, it's just, like, it's not, like, you know, bad, you know? I'm trying my best, you know? Once, if I make that decision and somehow it makes me look stupid, for example, going to that math seminar I went on Wednesday, you know, I was kind of overthinking that, like, you know, like, there was going to be a lot of people, and then we were going to have a discussion, and then, like, you know, they want my opinion on this math, and I just going to be like, oh, I don't know anything, you know, and then they're probably going to be like, why are you here then? What the hell? Like, you know, turns out it was barely, it was like 7 people in that seminar, and then we didn't talk or anything, except I talked to the physics professor, but, you know, it was just a general discussion. It was nice.
Yeah.
And, like...
But see, that result was so...
Different than, like, what you thought it would have been.
What is that word? Yeah, what is that word? It's not... It's like...
Unpredictable.
It's like... It didn't turn out to be this grand fiasco that you built in your head, you know? It wasn't like a garbage...
I hope it,
like,
makes sense for you listeners, garbage fire. Did it make sense to you guys, though?
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. You're saying that, like...
You understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I do understand what you're saying. Because you're saying that in your head, you're making up this huge fantasy of, like, a bajillion people there.
Honestly,
It was going to be this, like, terrible thing where you were center stage and it was going to be, like, people throwing trash at you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then it turned out to be, like, 6 people.
Yeah.
And, like, no one worried about you.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
And then at the end you were like, okay, I walked out with, like, some good questions. And, like, some good answers.
Yeah, yeah.
And you...
More questions than answers, to be honest.
Yes, exactly. And then you figured out that, hey, I mean, if this works out, then the next thing will probably work out in my favor. And a lot of things... Okay, there are some things in your life that will not work in your favor because that's just how life is.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of things will. And it will be so much better than you would have thought it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, It was such that's the things. That's why I say I'm such a good overthinker. Cause it's just like I love that face that you made, but
a good overthinker.
Cause the thing is that I always overthink of the situation that's going to happen to somewhere that or a new event that I'm going to or somewhere that I've never been to, and like after the outcome, it's just like, it's nothing what I expected, you know?
Yes, exactly.
It's just nothing like I expected. And so, like, again, going back to that math seminar I went, to be specific, I went to UPenn, and I went to one of their classrooms. But the thing is, like, inside, there was, like, no security guard. There were, like, no one to, like, I wanted to stop you, I guess, you know? So I felt like I was trespassing and whatever, and then I was overthinking, like, the fact that I went to the wrong classroom, and they were like, I'm sorry, are you a UPenn student here? I'm like, no. What are you talking about? And then, like, I don't know. They're going to bring a security guard. I don't know where, like, they kick me out and embarrass me in front of everyone. I don't know. Stuff like that.
Yeah, but, like an action movie?
More like a comedy action movie. I don't know. It was like, yeah.
Yeah. 30% are things that you can't control in your life, but 70% is how you respond to it.
Yes.
It's, like, such a big thing. Like, I think aligns... is relevant to what we're talking about overthinking, is that sure, there are some things that cannot work in our favor, but that 70% is up to you if you want to have a negative or a positive lesson from it.
Yes.
And I think that's such an important thing to remember when you are thinking about a certain subject matter that is on your mind, you have to make sure that you are, I guess, my art teacher, the way she had this analogy is that, like, if you're stressed about something, you're having issues, I think it definitely helps, this perspective is like, try to be your own therapist. Try to like know, like, hey, sure, like, you're feeling these emotions personally in your first person perspective, but really try to put yourself outside of the perspective, put yourself in the third person perspective, and see, like, okay, well, this is how I feel, maybe I did something wrong. Where in reality, if you're training yourself to be your own therapist, this is what actually happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then maybe you compare those differences and
be realistic.
And be realistic. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, okay, maybe it's not that bad. Or maybe it is bad, but what can I do about it? Instead of like, it is bad.
But is it that bad?
Yeah, or it could be that.
Yeah, is it that bad?
Well, there are a lot of people that think, like, it's bad. It's so bad. It's getting worse. It's getting much, much worse
than I ever thought. You're in the news. People are reporting about you. They're looking at back in your history. But, or whatever. I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying. Like people with massive anxiety have that. They think that everything is crashing down on them. I'm not undermining it. Those people's the people that feel that are valid, you know, and those feelings are valid. But what I think that there are a lot of people that don't have that existential dread on them, and they just overthink, or they train themselves to think about other people.
Right.
And it's not healthy. It really isn't healthy.
And go ahead.
I'm sorry. But the idea of being your own therapist is so smart.
Yeah.
Because I've been my own therapist for a lot of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Because it takes a lot in you to reassess yourself. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot to basically train yourself to not overthink for the sake of other people, but overthink for the sake of yourself. Mm-hmm. Is this healthy for you? Is this going to be beneficial for you? And I know that's going to be really, really meta. But don't overthink about, you know, how hard that trauma or that experience is going to have on you. I think what's most important is that all you do is reassess factually and be honest with yourself that if something didn't go wrong, that you can do better. But don't dig yourself your own grave is what I'm trying to say. Because in the situation where you're overthinking way too much about a certain aspect of yourself by being your own therapist, you become very cynical about yourself. Mm-hmm. And I never want to give the wrong message of you need to critique yourself all the time. But it's more about figuring out what you did wrong and having the courage and the belief that you can overcome that thing. Mm-hmm. And being your own therapist and also having people around you that not only understand but want you to get better, that push you to be better. Mm-hmm. Because I think that we're living in this era where everyone just has to be understanding, but no one is pushing other people to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the situation that we have right now.
That's why I having someone is such an important thing, you know.
Yeah.
Because like the thing is that yes, you can be your own therapist, but sometimes you can be your own bad therapist, you know.
Yes.
Because especially when, like you said, when people don't have that mentality of having good decisions,
mm-hmm.
if you have a therapist that only leads you to bad decisions. Then it's best to talk to someone about it, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to be your own negative echo chamber.
Yes, definitely that. Because also, when it comes to negative, which I think it was interesting, when it comes to like you said, or like Victoria said, a negative echo chamber, it's more of like so many point of views, you know, or like so many outcomes of those negatives. Mm-hmm. But for that positive, it's only one, you know.
Yeah.
You have that one positive like therapist, but then there's so many negative therapists. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. But like I think once, like, if you keep having that negative thoughts on overthinking, especially you talk to someone who is straightforward and also real with you too. Yeah. We're not only real with you, but also that wants, again, like Victoria said, that will lead you to, that wants to lead you to a better outcome or the best outcome that it can be.
That's exactly what I was thinking until you literally just mentioned right after Victoria, is that it can be difficult to try to train yourself to be your own therapist, but in a retrospective that's supposed to benefit you, but not have like another negative echo chamber. Like, you're feeling bad and your therapist, your own personal therapist in your head is like, yeah, you're being pretty bad. It's good to help start that habit of like you getting to know yourself and figure out who you are. It's also good to have someone that you know you can trust and can be really close to you and give you an honest opinion. And it's hard for those that do not have it. But I would say that one of two methods I see is that if you do have a best friend or someone that you really trust and you can really vent out about an issue, that can help you a lot.
Yeah.
And I would say the second method is to really just find someone that you think that's there as for you as like a beneficial resource. I think if you're going to school as a university, there are resources out there. There are counseling services that are willing to help you. And sure, that might not be as a significant or like you think that's like a beneficial factor as if you had a friend or if you already train yourself to be your own personal therapist. It's okay to try that out. And that could be the next best thing. I say third is like try to look for people, a community, maybe on the internet, or community outside of school or in school that probably share the same issue or probably have a thing that you're probably worried about. I'm just spinning out ideas that I would do if I didn't have you guys or if I didn't have like a family member. I look to my older sister a lot because she relates a lot to me what I'm going through. Or if you don't have a family member, don't have friends, it's the effort that counts instead of like you just overthinking and like feeling bad about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like I mentioned prior, is that 30% is what happens to you that you can't control, but 70% is how you respond to it that would dictate the direction your life is going in.
Yeah. I just can't stress enough that you have to be really careful about the people you associate with, because I'm serious. I spent a lot of my time in high school very, very lost or misdirected. It wasn't until senior year that I finally came to a place where I felt good about myself. And not even... It was in the summer after senior year, and it was because I became really close with Raphael and Eric, and I mean, it's not even like pumping up their ego or whatever. It's just that's how it worked out for me, and I feel much better about myself because I reassess myself in a way that isn't cynical or isn't leading into a pit of self-deprecation. It's more about, how do we all help each other out in order to be better people? And I think that I'm just spitting out quotes throughout this whole entire podcast, but I know this one quote that says, if you can, leave a person better than how you found them. And I think that's so important because, like I said earlier, life is all about being communicative. Or like Eric said earlier, it's all about us understanding each other. But not only that, we form as groups, we form as our own individual people to become better, to make society better. And I know that this is probably going to lead people into overthinking their own existential dread. But let's talk about that for a second. Why are people so existential? Why are people so worried about death? And it's because... like they're spending too much time in their thoughts that they're not doing anything. They're not taking any action to become a better person because they're trapped in their mind. And I think that it's very upsetting to see people that way.
Any
thoughts?
I was like, yeah, that's facts. They're very much of facts. So Eric, what do you think?
I definitely agree with Victoria. When you were talking, it reminds me of the moments I have when I overthink. And the most the most relevant like variables that do correlate when I do overthink is when I feel stressed. So overthinking, when I overthink, I feel stressed. When I feel stressed, I overthink. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, that links between each other. And when I feel stressed, I don't know for you guys, like, if you guys have any, like, how do you guys know when you feel stressed? Yeah, that sounds such a like a stupid question to say, but like, how do you, for me, when I know I feel stressed, it's like, I have this like sharp, tense, like feeling like this, like on my back. I don't know how to explain it. It's not necessarily on my back, but I feel this like sharp, tense, is like, whoa, like you're stressed, like in my head. I don't really know how to explain it, but when I do feel that, I know that I'm stressed and it doesn't feel good. And it reminded me of another method I do. It sounds so woo-woo, but it's definitely like a thing that, yeah, Rafael was like,
what's the woo-woo?
Woo-woo is like when people use buzz terms like meditation or just morning rituals and like,
okay,
mm-hmm, like incense sticks, or you know, it's like, yeah, if you meditate, you'll be like free of all the stress in your life. And I want to say that, well,
yeah, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I want to say it's not gonna like relieve all the stress in your life, but I want to put forward that meditation does really help. It's just that there's this like stigma around it. It's like meditation is for like one of those monks living in the mountains, and they're just like meditating, like, you know, praying om, and like all those rituals, and it's only for those people. But it's not necessarily
their form of meditation.
There's plenty of forms of meditation. But what I'm trying to get to is that when I do overthink, like I mentioned before, I try to take a break from it and maybe like go to another thing or be out with friends. Another thing I do is that I sit down and I close my eyes and like focus on my breathing, which is a very simple basic explanation of meditation. It's like you try really hard because you're overthinking, your mind is bouncing all over the place on all these subjects, like what about this, like why did I do that, like does he or she like is okay with it, everything. What you do, the point of meditation is like for you to try to declutter that mind fog of all these like subjects that you're thinking about.
Clear the fog.
And it's really hard. Like, I'm not saying like your first time meditation you're gonna be like floating in midair and like you know, doing backflips while you're like closing your eyes and like you'll unlock a third eye type deal. But it's important that you guys should try it. Is like the meditation is that even when your head is now focused. Like, when people say this quote, it's like, don't think of a pink elephant. And now you think of a pink elephant. Like, it's inevitable. But when you do meditate and you do focus on a certain subject and you start to get deep into it, and I have that with my experiences, is that you still put in an effort to try to declutter it. And just like, okay, let me focus on my breathing. Like, in, out, in, out. And that will, I will guarantee you, that if you do practice meditation enough, it can help you to overthink less.
Yeah.
To be more focused on a subject, or like to really know yourself, to really know your boundaries of like what your mind is capable of, like from being unstressed. So when you do practice being in the mode of being unstressed and like calm and rational, when you do face that, when you are in a position where you are feeling stressed, you can train your mind more to be like, okay, let me try to go take some steps back to how I felt when stressed.
Well, the crazy thing about meditation is that everyone thinks that it's about thinking about nothing, right? But I don't think that that's true. I think
that gets me more anxious if I think about nothing.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's not about thinking about nothing. I'm getting lost in my own sentence. Meditation is about... Because, here, let me start over. Our lives, especially in this time and place, there's only stimulated and overstimulated, and then there's sleep, right? The point of meditation is to be awake, but also not stimulated. So you're not, the whole entire point of it is to be able to sit there and listen to one single sound. And that's what monks do. I'm not going to like go against what Eric just said, but that's the point of what monks do, is that they're focusing on that one single sound, and they're not overstimulated by everything else. And that's the reason why they resort to the mountains. That's the reason why they go into temples. It's because we live in this constantly stimulated world, and our perceptions are constantly stimulated. And that overthinking is a cause, or the effect, the result of the overstimulation. So the reason why meditation works is because you're forcing yourself to still be awake while emptying out all of the stimuli that's around you.
And you do basically both, like most of your own work of clearing the fog, instead of like distracting yourself, instead of like by something that you want that thing to clear the fog off.
Yeah, and that's how you reach the mental clarity. That's why people feel grounded after any meditation session, because they're not stimulated anymore. They've reset their brain. And it's the same thing with sleep, by the way. That's why when people say that they don't like sleeping, I just think that that's crazy.
I think what Eric and Victoria just said is very interesting, because for me, when it comes to meditation, it's not like relax or whatever. Actually, especially when I'm at home, I just mess around with my sister. I just like bother her or interrupt whatever she was doing, and then I just play around with her and whatever. And then after that, I'm like, all right, let me go back to this now. You know, you just like, I don't know, you just like.
That's a way to relieve that stress and relieve the overthinking, is because you're focusing the negative stimulation onto like something that's positive. And that's like a constant positive in your life, your sister, and that there's a lot of things that can be a constant positive in everybody's lives. And it's true. I mean, that's why people go to guitar, because it's like, you're a definite thing in my life that can make me happy right now, so let me go to that. I think that the only problem I can see with that is when it's something constant that is negative, for example like drugs and alcohol, that can lead to dependency, and it's not turning into something productive. Because many people can escape that overthinking by just, you know,
like doing drugs and drinking.
Because like alcohol, for example, it just like stops you from worrying too much about shit.
It just numbs everything where you were doing. It just numbs everything in general. Basically, it just like you literally stop what you were doing, and it doesn't go back at what you were doing. You know, you just like, the only outcome is that you sleep and then you get hungover.
I feel like with alcohol and drugs, you're escaping from it, but when you do come back to, when you do confront that the obstacle you're in,
you forgot the keys.
I could kind of see that analogy, but it's just like you're still the same person as you are. You weren't grounded beforehand, and you're still not grounded after.
Whereas
in meditation, you do escape the overstimulation. But it's before, when you weren't grounded and you do meditate, you have more clarity and you're grounded. That makes you able to confront the obstacle better.
Yes.
Because it's there's two different like perspectives on like escaping. I see that with meditation. And I was just about to say what Victoria said with you and you hanging out with your sister. There are plenty of various forms of meditation. And meditation is just like you being grounded, finding that mental clarity. And like Victoria mentioned, escape the overstimulation our modern society is in. It's just your sister, it's like definitely a great example, because you love your sister, and your sister allows you to stop overthinking about the subject you're doing now, and lets you calm down from being stimulated for so much. And then you could go back to your work and you're more focused. Meditation, the traditional meditative way, is definitely an example. Playing guitar is an example, because you're enjoying playing the music and you're in the flow. Writing streams of consciousness, like just writing down your thoughts and like venting it out, that helps you release all the thoughts you've had in your head. I guess the most easy way to start for like people who are listening to this podcast episode and they're learning how to not overthink is to write down on paper. Just get a book, just get a piece of paper and pen, and write down all the thoughts you're thinking of right now. As much as they, as how long those thoughts are, I do the same way, is that I write like pages and pages of like what I'm overthinking. Yeah. And it, I would say like it helps you. It helps you see like, whoa, I have all these thoughts on paper. Let me read through all of them. I mean, that's what the point of a journal is, mm-hmm. is to like see what you wrote that day. And then you're like, okay, now I'm looking at like outside of my head. This is like what I'm thinking about. And it's just like, maybe it's not that bad. Or maybe I feel more grounded. Now I like, and more of like an analogy is like I took all the thoughts in my head out of my head.
It makes such perfect sense. Also, when it comes to reading a book, once you reread that book, you have a different
perception.
Yes, you have a different idea of what the book is saying. Mm-hmm. You know, like and the same thing as you were saying, you write a journal and you write it on paper, and those words on paper, you reread that again, you all like
yeah.
Okay, then this overthinking is stupid. Like, what was I thinking? You know, yeah. Like, what the hell is this?
It's amazing how journaling can do that to you. Because I've been journaling for probably like half of my life. Started journaling when I was like 9 or 10 years old, and it was because I had a lot of brain fog, and I realized that after I wrote anything and I looked back to it after a year, I'm just like, I am in a completely different position right now than I was before. And that gives me the hope to continue, because you realize your progress. It's right there in front of you. You wrote it into existence. You wrote that this is a place in your life that you were at, but now you are in a completely different part of your life. You could be going through completely different things, and maybe you're better or maybe you're worse, but then you, if it's worse, then you write it down again and you see what happens after the next week or the next month or the next year, and you keep reassessing yourself that way. And I think that's the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. I love journaling.
I guess I would definitely agree that that could be a really good option and great way to start to help overthink less. I think I know that we all journal, and I know Victoria journals the most out of all of us. But originally, when I heard about journaling, I'll admit, I heard about journaling because I watched Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. But I thought that was stupid, because like it was just, maybe it's just a humorous perspective, because we could talk about masculinity and everything. But I thought like Diary was a little girly back then, because it's just the way I grew up. But now that I journal now, I definitely agree with Victoria that it's so, I would say, like, it expands like my mindset or like my perspective way more by looking at the perspective I was looking at previously.
Yeah.
Like good times and bad times, and seeing that in a physical manifestation of like you having a timeline where you had your good days and your mm-hmm. bad days.
Yeah.
Really shows something about yourself. And I think that's crazy. Like right now I'm holding my journal that I write like most of the time, most of the week, of like what I'm feeling that day. Mm-hmm. And some days I look back, I started actually, it's never too late to start a journal, just to let you guys know that. There's no competition like who journals the most and like mm-hmm. how many pages you get done.
Or like how drunk, hey, like yeah. they've been journaling.
Yeah.
Flow.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I wrote my journal since 5 years old. Like,
yeah.
All right, well, I'm sorry for bringing up that little spiel about me. No. Whatever.
Yeah, Victoria, I'm offended. I should have started at 7 years old.
Okay.
But think of it in this perspective. Don't try to think of like you're writing and on this paper to show to someone else. Write it just to vet out for yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important perspective to show about it. Because like I started journaling actually around February of this year. It's 2019.
Yeah. Wait. 2019.
Yeah. 2019, before we graduated high school. That's when I started. I remember I went to ACMR near our high school, and I bought a Moleskine book with one of our good friends, Min. And I was like, okay, I want to start journaling. Because at that time, I was feeling really bad. Like I was just feeling really bad about myself. And I was writing a lot of stuff about like, hey, this is how I'm feeling, negative thoughts. And then there are days where I feel really great. Like, I'm just mm-hmm. going to attack the day. And yeah. there are days where I just feel shitty. I'm just like putting over all my thoughts that I'm overthinking. And every now and then, since I'm right now, currently as of this podcast, I'm in a grounded state. So like when I look back on those pages, I'm just like, this is how I felt at that day.
Yes,
and
this, and exactly.
I look back at it. It's kind of like the Grinch It's not the Grinch. The Nightmare Before, wait.
Before Christmas?
The one with the like the ghosts, the future. I'm uncultured. Oh, I'm so uncultured.
A Christmas Story, right? Christmas something.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Scrooge.
The Christmas Carol.
The Christmas Carol. Yes. Where you're looking, like the ghosts are showing you like the past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're like, kinda, this is how mean you are.
And you're kind of like this omniscient perspective, like, oh shit.
Yeah.
This is exactly how I feel when I look at the journal.
That's good, because Scrooge at the end is like, I'm gonna stop being a terrible, mean old man.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
That's a great movie, by the way. I'm glad you brought it up.
I literally said The Grinch and I got that mixed up, but like, hope you guys understood.
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I literally got both of the movies like, oh, not related, but that's exactly how I feel. And
A Christmas Story. Sorry.
Yeah. Do you have anything to say, Raphael?
Do I have anything to say? I like that analogy. I agree with Victoria. I think there's really nothing to say there, but because, you know, Victoria and you already said a lot about it. I also have started journaling, and I gotta be honest with you, it's mostly off bitching about other people in high school, but like in the same time,
that. I used to bitch about other people in my journals too.
Yeah, it just like, but and also in the same time, not just people in high school, but also like my family too, like. I gotta be honest, it's just negative thoughts, like, in that journal. Because, like, whenever I'm happy, you just, like, why do I need to write about it? You know, it just is. But, like, if this is something that's definitely affecting my way of thinking, that's when I write it down. It's like, this fucking bitch.
Journaling serves a purpose no matter what. Even if it's all negative thoughts. Because then when you're happy and you're like, huh, I'm curious to see what I journaled back then. You look at it and you're like, holy shit. I was in a really negative space and now I'm better. And I think that's the point of journaling. And also journaling your great days is amazing as well. Mm-hmm. I think that the reason why journaling is so effective is because without recording down what you felt, you go day by day and you kind of forget about how you feel over the long run, right? Because if you're suffering with any mental illness like depression or anxiety, you live with that and every single day you become more comfortable with it. So you're just like, that's a part of my life, right? This is how I'm supposed to feel every day. Mm-hmm. And then if you're happy all the time, right, you also get comfortable with that and you're living your daily life normally and you don't know what the difference is. By journaling, you have a physical representation of the days that you felt bad, mm-hmm. the days that you felt good. And to look back on that is so powerful beyond words, beyond any thought or perception in your mind, because it's the same thing that goes with exercise. And I don't mean to regress back to our other episode, but to see physical progress is so important. And
I was actually thinking about that.
To escape depression, to get rid of it, to reverse it, to reverse anxiety or any negative thoughts. Being able to see any progress in your life and like I kept repeating throughout the episode, to finally find the hope and the courage again is really important. So in that way, exercising and journaling, I think those are the really important aspect or things that you can do in your life to stop overthinking.
The way I think of journaling is when you have, let's say, in the most imaginative terms, like if just please imagine this. Imagine you have a sphere inside your head, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have this orb inside that sphere. And that's, I guess you can say, represents like the overthinking, whatever, or like negative.
Wait, sphere or fear?
Sphere, like,
okay,
like a ball.
A sphere, yes.
Yeah.
And there's an orb inside that sphere, like an eyeball.
Right. And like, you know, it kept spinning, you know, and it's spinning so fast that it gives you a headache or like whatever wrong that's going to happen to you. But then once you journal, you know, that sphere is going to open up and then you just release it and then like, you know, it just goes into that paper, you know, and you don't have that anything no more, you know. Mm-hmm. And I
see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like the way I thought of visual is like, think of it like as like your forehead and like your words are just like floating out of your head and it's just like, you know, it's like being placed.
Yeah, it literally just gets out of your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry guys. We have two visual artists here. So this is how they
think. Yeah, we think visually, but we're trying, you know.
I mean, you think visually too, don't you, Victoria?
I would.
Or you think by letters.
You think by semicolons and dashes.
Well, see, I think what is wrong with me is that I just do a lot of similes and like analogies. Uh-huh. So like I said, you were talking about the sphere and the orb, and then I was like an eyeball. Right. That was my way of trying to think logically. Oh. Right? But like I think that my visual cues are not as great as you guys are. But off topic.
Yeah. So I think that we have we had a very great discussion about how to not overthink.
What's the conclusion?
Okay. Well,
there were a lot.
There are a lot of, well, the conclusion is a lot.
Or well, there are a lot of methods.
Oh, yeah.
There
are plenty of methods we've discussed about how to not overthink less. I think towards the end of the podcast, we kind of came across in our heads, like, journaling can be a really, I would say, most accessible and easy way to start the habit. To start the habit of not, or like learn to train yourself to not overthink.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said, journaling your thoughts, keep it to yourself, privacy, and it's good to have some physical representation of progress of your life. It's kind of like having a timeline of yourself. Two, we talked about meditation, but we talked about just anything that will keep your mind a break from the thing that you're overthinking.
You try to achieve some mental clarity.
Mental clarity, venting out to your friends about a certain issue that you have, mm-hmm. and hearing their own opinion, being your own personal therapist, and trying to understand the through your first person emotions, mm-hmm. but understand the reality of what's happening in the third person perspective, like expectations and reality, and
Avoid a negative echo chamber. Have friends that not only understand but want you to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't find anyone, then you can write down on your journal.
Yeah. So full circle.
It's not like step one, step two, step three. You can start anywhere in the methods that we talked about in our experience. And I'm pretty sure plenty of people have discovered their own methods of how to not overthink less, because I think stress is definitely correlated with overthinking. So if we could listen to our de-stress episode, I'm sure there are other methods that we haven't mentioned, or you can always look up on find resources.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've had a great discussion.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and we hope that you enjoy this episode. If you want to learn more about us or look at our other episodes, you can go on our Spotify and look over those. And you can follow us on Instagram at Official Meal Deals. And if you have any questions, we are at officialmealdeals@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.